Turn with me, if you would, in Mark's Gospel to the first chapter as we will conclude our messages on chapter 1. As you're turning there, just a reminder to you to make sure always that you are paying attention as you read and as you sing. I can't reiterate that enough. I sang Rock of Ages for many, many, many years until I realized, as I read carefully and should have seen it before, but that the double cure that we ask to be cleansed from is from the guilt and the power of sin. How important to read what we're singing, to read with thoughtfulness what we are reading from God's Word, and to ask for God's Spirit to open our eyes to see and to understand. This is God's inerrant, inspired Word. It is sufficient for us. Mark chapter 1, beginning our reading at verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. Let's pray. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Help us to see Jesus, high and lifted up. Help us, O Lord, by your Spirit to have the strength to heed your word and to know you. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I'm quite sure that if I were to announce a upcoming news event that I wanted you all to be at, and that we gathered together to witness a great event, and I asked three of you to report on that event, that report would be as different as the three people that I asked to report it. You would bring your own insights. You would hear perhaps different things than the other person who was there at that same event. All reporting facts, but in different ways, with different personality behind them. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three synoptic gospels, reporting on the life and ministry and teaching of Christ, all three with different aims and different perspectives, but all reporting of the life and ministry of Christ. And so it is with Mark, one of the earliest, that as we have made note of, as he is reporting on the ministry of Christ, focuses his attention more on the works than on the teaching. But don't think for a moment that by focusing our attention on the miracles and works of Christ, that he's not seeking to instruct us, but rather to arrange the work of Christ in such a fashion as to instruct us and to teach us that we would learn more about Jesus Christ as the one who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Mark focuses, as we've seen already, our attention on the miracles that Jesus has performed. The healing of the unclean, the man with the unclean spirit. The healing of Simon Peter's mother. The healing of those who were sick and those who were oppressed. And yet, as we look last time, how important for us to realize, as Jesus told his disciples, that the real purpose for which he had come was to preach, to go throughout Galilee preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. But it's astonishing that right after that announcement of why he had come, Mark records for us another miracle, a miracle in which Jesus heals the leper. And the reason that Mark records it at this time in the record of Jesus' works is to bring our minds and our attentions to the instruction that Mark has for us concerning our desperate condition and our need of a Savior. We're told here that a leper came to him. I'm sure there's not too many of us who have ever witnessed a leper, one who has been plagued by this disease. In fact, we might think falsely that there is no leprosy, but leprosy continues. In fact, I read this week that every 2 minutes, someone in the world is diagnosed with this disease. There were, in 2012, 168 cases diagnosed in the United States. But when we look at a leper, we see all of the spots and the disfigurement that comes and think that that is a result of the disease. Not so. The bacteria attacks the nerve endings. And as a result, someone can get injured very easily, and the result of the numb limbs and fingers and toes causes one to, when they are injured, to have infections that set in, and the disease becomes rampant and great. One person calls it a living hell. It's a horrible, horrible disease, along with its effects. This was a man of leprosy who had come to Jesus, we're told. Matthew's gospel said there were great crowds following Jesus. Both in Matthew and Mark and Luke, we have recorded for us that Jesus healed this leper after giving the Sermon on the Mount. This man was an outcast of society. And according to the law, had to be an outcast of society. In fact, if you turn with me to Leviticus, we have there rules for leprous people. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So added to the horror of the disease itself and the effects of the injuries that come as a result, the leprous person was an outcast to society, lonely and living alone, isolated from everyone around. And the leper came to Jesus in the midst of the great crowds. We're not told whether he pushed his way through or whether they, seeing his leprosy, quickly moved aside, allowing him through. But no doubt he made his way to Jesus, and we're told here that he implored him. And he kneeled and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean. Here was a man who understood fully his own condition. He was under no false pretense. His situation was desperate and discouraging, an outcast, unwanted and unlovely. He saw the horrific nature of his disease. He was under no false perceptions about his deplorable condition. He wasn't living in a fantasy world, but he had a true picture of his condition, and at the same time, a deep confidence in the ability of Christ to do something about it. He came to Jesus. He came imploring him, "If you will, you can make me clean." He knew that Christ had the ability to make him clean if he was but willing. And so he implored Jesus. How this is a picture. How Mark intends for us to see in this picture, a picture of our own condition. The only difference is that externally, we may look wonderful, but internally, we may be full of sin and even greater and more horrific thing than the leprosy with which this man struggled. John Newton said this about his own condition. The writer of Amazing Grace, the slave trader and slave owner. How lost was my condition? Till Jesus made me whole, there is but one physician can cure a sin-sick soul. Next door to death, he found me. He snatched me from the grave to tell all around me his wondrous power to save. The worst of all diseases, says Newton, is light compared with sin. On every part it seizes, but rages most within. 'Tis palsy, plague, and fever, and madness all combined. And none but a believer the least relief can find. Here was a man, leprous, in a horrible condition, coming to Jesus. And Mark records it for us, no doubt, not only for us to see the power that Christ had over leprosy, but more importantly, the power he has over our sin-sick souls. The scripture shows to us time and time again that our condition is horrific. In Romans, we read that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." By nature, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we are children of wrath like the rest. The only difference between our malady and this is that this man's malady was obvious to all, but ours is not. Not always. Have you been given eyes to see by the Spirit of God the desperate condition of your sinful nature? That you are not only sick, but dead in trespasses and sins? When you begin to see the depravity of your own heart, oh, it should cause you to cling to Christ. The leper was rather hesitant, wasn't he? He knew that Christ was able to heal, but he wasn't sure whether Christ was willing. But when we see the condition of our hearts, when the Spirit of God so works upon us that we see how dead we are in our sins and trespasses, We can know with full assurance and with no hesitation that he who is willing is also able, and that he who is able is also willing. You need not fear. Jesus Christ is the one who is able to take the sin-sick soul, the soul that is dead in trespasses and sins, and bring new life. Friends, if you belong to Christ by faith, then you have confidence in him. Be assured that it is by his grace that you have been saved, and that he has shown himself not only able, but also willing. But the second thing that we see here is the compassion of Christ. The leper comes to Jesus, implores him, and Jesus, we're told in verse 41, was moved with pity, moved with compassion. And he showed his great compassion to the leprous man by touching him. Now, there's something unique about this. I'm sure that no one else around would have dared to touch the leper. Jesus touched the man with leprosy. But he wasn't the only one that he had touched. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 31, we're told that he took Simon Peter's. We saw this last time. Simon Peter's mother-in-law, we're told, he took her by the hand and he lifted her up. And the fever left her. We're told in chapter 5 and verse 41 of Mark's Gospel. The little girl, he says, taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means little girl, I say to you, arise. In chapter 6 and verse 5, we're told that he could do no mighty work, but that he took, we're told, and laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. In chapter 7 and verse 33, Jesus healing a deaf man, we're told, and taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephratha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. In chapter 8, in verse 23, we read this of the blind man. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked him, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men, but they look like trees walking. Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, we read this. And he took them, that is the little children, in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. What was it about the touch? Was there something magical in the touch? One commentator says, no. This was no magic. The healing power did not originate in his fingers or in his garments. It came straight from the divine human Jesus, from his almighty will, and from his infinitely sympathetic heart. Jesus showed himself both willing and able to heal the leper of his leprosy. And he who was clean was willing to be termed unclean by touching the leper's spots. There's something amazing here to be seen. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, contacting an unclean person. Is that not what the scripture teaches us concerning Christ? That he who knew no sin became as sin for us? That he took the wrath of God for our sin? That Jesus Christ took our punishment and our wrath and was willing to be numbered among sinners on our behalf. Jesus not only cleansed him, but we're told here, charged him and sent him away and told him to show himself to the priest and offer himself for cleansing as proof to them that he was fully clean. If you go to Leviticus chapter 14, you begin to read not only how they were to treat lepers, but how they were to treat one who was healed. They were to present themselves to the priest. There was a ceremony, a ritual that was to take place. There were sacrifices that were to be offered. There was nothing in that ritual that would bring healing, but it was to mark them as clean so that they could be restored. Fully and completely restored to the religious and social life of Israel. When Jesus tells him to go present himself to the priest, he is by that indicating that this man was not only healed of leprosy, but could be fully restored to all his natural life. Full, complete, perfect restoration. Isn't that what Jesus does? He not only gives to us saving faith in Christ, but he restores us, he makes us whole. There's an old spiritual that says there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Newton goes on to say in that poem that I read from earlier, "From men, great skill professing, I sought a cure to gain. But this proved more distressing and added to my pain. Some said nothing ailed me. Some gave me up for lost. Thus every refuge failed me, and all my hopes were crossed. At length this great physician, how matchless his grace, accepted my petition and undertook my case. First gave me sight to view him, for sin my eyes had sealed. Then bid me look unto him. I looked, and I was healed. A dying, risen Jesus, seen by the eye of faith, at once from danger frees us and saves the soul from death. Come then to this physician. His help he'll freely give. He makes no hard condition. To Jesus, look and live." Oh, friends, I trust that is your testimony this day. That you have looked to Christ. And that by faith in Christ, you know that you have been rescued from a condition that brings death. Jesus restored this leper to full reputation in the community. He healed him from his leprosy. But sad as it was, the leper was not grateful for what had happened. Jesus charged him to show yourself to the priest, but also told him in verse 43 that he was not to. He charged him, he sent him away at once and said to him, verse 44, see that you say nothing to anyone. We assume from this that Jesus didn't want anyone to hear of it because he knew what would come as a result. The time was not right for him to suffer and die. But the leper went out and talked freely. He didn't listen. He didn't heed Christ's command. And he kept a blessing from other communities, we're told. For when the news spread, Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the desolate places, and people were coming to him. What is it that we do with what Christ has done? Do we show gratitude in our hearts for what he has done for us by rescuing our sinful, sin-sick soul? If so, we will desire to impact others. One commentator says this: we will never affect others as Christ did unless there's contact and identification. We have to be willing to take the hand of those whom we're going to help. Sometimes a touch, a caring involvement will do 1,000 times more than our theology. We are great in theory. We are careful about our doctrine, but we need to lay our hand on some rotting flesh in our neighborhood, in the executive towers where we work, in the city slums. When we truly understand and come to grips with what Christ has done for us in taking us in our lost condition and enabling us by his grace to see Christ and the forgiveness that is in Christ, then we will seek to reach out to others. We will seek to have an impact out of the gratitude of our hearts, to be his hands and his feet, to see others restored completely and fully, desiring and praying that God would take that hard heart of stone and make it into a heart of flesh. Jesus is the one who has the power to transform, to heal, to change, and to restore for all eternity. Let us pray. O gracious Father, it is not until we begin to see the condition of our own heart that we can see the power of Christ and his willingness to save us to the uttermost. And when we begin to see and to comprehend and to understand your great love for us in Christ, we begin to reach out to others, to lend a touching hand, to help others to see that Jesus has the power to change the leper spots. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.